Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Shaitan. And I submit totally, God, my word is born. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness, and it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard, but I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none, just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say, but I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real, and help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if it's your will for me to go, then I'm going in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live. And she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family, and the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me, feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I sign Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fruit, it's in my blood for sure. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off. You're killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is this because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Oh Allah, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knots. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trial. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen.
And in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and of course in the name of the most honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. I'm sorry, I'm so distracted with people in the chat room. Y'all so funny. It is in their names that I greet you all in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum welcome back to Put on the New Man, our live study group. And without further ado, allow me to present our beloved host, my dear brother, my friend, my Wiley, a strong and mighty soldier for the cause of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a blessed and divinely gifted assistant to the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, my dear brother, Student Minister James Muhammad from Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, sir. Brother James, your phone is on mute.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. But I thank you so much, dear sister, for your presentation of us, your kind and gracious words that really set for me a goal, a real noble goal, a really noble goal to achieve one day to even approximate that which you say of me by the grace of Allah. I always want to thank Allah for you, dear sister, for this wonderful forum you've extended to me and to us so that we can aid the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if you will, by spreading his word, certainly not our words, but his word, that the people might know the truth, and as such, as the scripture says, they and we will be made free. Always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Allah Most Holy, we can never thank Allah enough for making his presence known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through and he making his presence known to us all in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and raising up his exalted Christ and through the Christ and Allah working together in tandem. In fact, about it, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, as he reported some of the history in those intimate moments with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, I didn't make you, Brother Farrakhan. And of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, oh, yes, you did, dear Apostle. And again, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad repeated, I did not make you. And then, of course, the minister, being respectful, but not fully understanding, said, oh, yes, you did, dear Apostle. And then the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, who is the teacher here, brother? And since, of course, the minister knew who the teacher was and is, he said, yes, sir. And then the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad proceeded to tell him, brother, I didn't give you any more than I gave all of the ministers. Only Allah could make you put the word together as you put it together. I didn't make you, brother. Allah God made you for me. Now the question is, what did he make him? Well, we'll get into that perhaps. I know we spent a lot of time on it on the last show, and we want to talk about the time and what must be done. But we thank Allah God for his exalted Christ. And we can never thank Allah God, who through his exalted Christ, he produced a Messiah in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their names, beloved brothers and sisters, all of you in the listening audience, Christian, Muslim, Hebrew, whatever religion you profess, and even those who have none to profess, we're very happy to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Tonight.
And if you don't mind, Brother James, just 1 second. Let me remind the listening audience, for those of you who have questions, we're going to allow Brother James to speak, and then we're going to take your questions. Please press 1 on your dial pad if you want to get in your request for a question now. And then for those of you in the chat room, I'm going to keep up with you all as best as possible. But there are many questions in the chat room because they want you to pick up where you left off last week. But this week, Brother James' focus is on part 48 and 49 of the time and what must be done. But he will answer your questions. But right now we're going to start with that. So thank you, Brother James.
Thank you, Queen Aziza. And that's absolutely right. While your questions, I'm sure, are very, very relevant and very, very, very important to you and, of course, to us. I don't ever want this show to take the direction that it is about the exegesis or explanation or the understanding or misunderstanding, however you choose to look at it, of Brother James Muhammad. No, this show is to spread and to expand and to share the word and message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I know that things will be said that will evoke questions in the minds of the listeners, and we want to be respectful of that and, inshallah, address it if Allah pleases that we can, and with his permission. But we are in a period of time where we must understand the way to go for the black man and woman of America. And the way to go, brothers and sisters, so eloquently and so fervently and so clearly stated, first by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then reiterated with great passion and clarity and understanding by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, separation and independence. By the grace of Allah, we want to lift the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from part 48 and part 49 of his lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. What I like to do, by the grace of Allah, as I usually like to do, for those of you who've been with us for some time, I like to use as foundational stones of our subject matter scriptural reference, both from the Bible and the Quran. In the Bible and also in installment 49, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan references Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, the 4th through the 7th verses. And they read, "And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And now reading from the Holy Quran, this is the 4th surah or chapter, the 97th ayat or verse, under the section entitled Muslims Who Remained with the Enemy. And, of course, we seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. As for those whom the angels cause to die while they are unjust to themselves, the angels will say, "What were you doing?" They will say, "We will weaken the earth." They, meaning the angels, will say, "Was not Allah's earth spacious so that you could have migrated therein? So these it is whose refuge is hell, and it is an evil resort." Now, let us begin. In the 48th installment of The Time and What Must Be Done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, stated, and of course it's in the Final Call newspaper, in the 33rd volume, number 10, dated December 17, 2013. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes in his monumental work titled Message to the Black Man in America, in the chapter Economic Program, under the section Separation, Independence, on pages 203 and 204. "We must have some of this earth to produce our people's needs. It is the right time that we seek separation and independence for our nation from the evils of our open enemies and not the foolish things that some of us are seeking and doing. Our people seek that recognition which demands better qualifications, education, the knowledge of self and others, manners and self-respect and the respect of others. But our people just do not have these qualifications until they first come to Islam or submit their will to do the will of God and bear witness to what Allah God has revealed to me. No intelligent and refined society will accept us until we have the above stated qualifications." Look at these reality shows, he continues. Look at how we are being portrayed. Some of our great professionals, doctors, lawyers, preachers, wealthy basketball players, football players, and their wives. Look at how we are being portrayed. Because we are good at our profession, this does not yet mean that we are civilized. You could be a doctor, but a savage in behavior. We could be great lawyers, great preachers, but have a savage state of mind. And if you don't know yourself, if you don't have self-respect, if you don't know what manners of decent, civilized society and portray that at home, or rather if you don't know the manners of decent, civilized society and portray that at home and abroad, we then can be considered as savage. And what is being shown of us on television, it begs the intervention of Allah God and his Messiah to teach us how to be civilized human beings. Back to the writings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he continues. But before I continue, I just want to state that we are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that a savage is one who has lost the knowledge of himself and is living a beast life, or the life of a beast. It is common to see, writes the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and hear of white mobs attacking, beating, and shooting down poor blacks whose fathers and mothers' labor, sweat, and blood helped make America the richest government on earth. Nevertheless, we are yet the most hated and mistreated people. Allah God wants to make a great nation out of us the so-called Negroes, in parentheses. However, if we desire to remain the slave of our or servants for our slave masters and their children, it is all right with Allah. The question we have to ask and answer properly is, do we love ourselves and our children? If so, why not build a future for ourselves rather than beg the slave masters and their children for jobs and equal shares in whatever they have, even to equal membership in their society and families through intermarriage? This is definitely not a wise thing to do, but a very foolish and destructive thing for the once slave and his master to do. By the help and guidance of Allah God, I have put before you the wise and the best thing for your future. Firstly, some of this earth that we can call our own. And I'll conclude the reading. Now let us reflect on those scriptural foundational stones Allah God has blessed me to read from the scriptures of the Bible and the Quran. Our complaint here in America has been, is, and if we stay on this course of action, it shall always be our deprivation of freedom, justice, and equality. Race persecution and the inferiorization of black people or people of color throughout America, being the first fired and the last hired, the locked out, the left out, the disenfranchised, the forgotten, the deprived, the lost. This was, is, and has ever been our cry here in America. We have tried every solution that the enemy has suggested would be our pathway to resolution of these problems and afflictions that beset us here in the hells of North America. They said that we should get an education. Well, we have more PhD holders than we've ever had before in the history of America, black America. We have more master degree holders than we've ever had before. We have more Bachelor of Arts and Bachelor of Science degree holders than we've ever had before. And while our young people have divorced themselves from the educational process because they, even in their infant and immature perception of education, realize that what they're doling out in these institutions of learning is not the kind of education that will satisfy their thirst for knowledge and, as such, fit them out to do something for themselves. So they have divorced themselves from the educational process, and you will find them in the streets seeking some criminal way of getting an income. Not because they are criminal, but because the enemy has wisely closed every meaningful avenue, meaningful legal avenue by which our young people can realize the economic gains, the material desires and possessions that not only they want, but that they in fact deserve. You can't justify telling our young people to get a job at Wendy's or Burger King or McDonald's or some other fast food institution while you are force feeding them through commercials and TV the desire to have Lexuses and Audis and Cadillacs and the finer things in life. Go to Jared, they say. But in Jared, the jewels cost so much money, a $5 an hour job cannot even begin to allow one earning such to even think about going to Jared. So what are you inspiring our young people to do who have not bought into the reality or your reality that they're not allowed these things? No. They intend to get these things at any cost. Yes, they are involved in criminal activity, but as our beloved brother and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated, they are derivative crimes, meaning the crimes are inspired and orchestrated in their architecture by an unseen enemy. So they are derivative crimes. Now, since for decades we have been seeking resolution of these problems, what will you do now? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan posed rather rhetorically in installment 49. He said, those of you who have fought to integrate with your former colonialists or colonizers, to integrate and become a part or a member of their society, he says, how are you doing? How are things going in words? How are you faring? When will you see that separation and independence, or rather separation, will lead to the independence, the respect, the equality, and the freedom you say you desire? Well, you may say, well, you see, there's nothing that the white man will let us do. He's just not going to let us get these things. Oh, come on, brothers and sisters. It is not the white man that is stopping us from achieving these expressed goals. It is our unwillingness to set aside our petty differences, unite under wise guidance, and take our nickels, dimes, and dollars and pull them together and affect freedom, justice, and equality for ourselves. Yes, the white man is a problem. There is no question about that. He is a problem to himself. But only we can allow him, or do allow him, to be a problem to us. We are our own problem, and if we would get our foolish feet out of our own way, we would begin to make progress down the pathway of freedom. In the Quran, I'm going to read it again. In the 14th section of the 4th surah or chapter, beginning with the 97th ayat or verse, as for those whom the angels cause to die while they are unjust to themselves, well, how are you and I unjust to ourselves? Could it be that we are unjust to ourselves because that which we are weighing in, praying in, protesting for is right within our own power to achieve, to have, to accomplish? It is unjustified for us who get over $1 trillion a year out of this American economy to beg others to do for us what we could if we would use wisely and prudently this money, could do for ourselves. We're being unjust to ourselves. But look at what Allah says in the Quran regarding those of us who are unjust to ourselves. The angels will say, what were you doing? And I repeat the question to us. What are we doing? They will say, we were weak in the earth. See, the white man got control of all of this. Now, this is not the Quran. This is Brother James. How the white man got control of all of this. I mean, you know, he got us in the ghetto, locked in the ghetto, man. Ain't nothing we can do. He controls the education. He controls the jobs. White folks got the money and the power, man. What can we do? Back to the angels. They will say, was not Allah's earth spacious, so that you could have migrated therein? Let's look at that. Is not Allah's earth spacious that we could migrate therein? Let's look at that word, migrate. Give me a moment, please. The word migrate, according to the dictionary, is defined as follows. It's a verb. To go from one country, region, or place to another. The synonyms are to move, to resettle, to relocate. The antonyms or the opposite means to remain. Number two, to pass periodically from one region or climate to another as certain birds, fishes, and animals. To shift as from one system, mode of operation, or enterprise to another. Is not the earth spacious enough that if we, in unity and under the wise guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, would take that money that we get out of the American economy and separate in this spacious earth, either on this continent or elsewhere? Could not we find somewhere that is not landlocked, where the earth is fertile and minerally rich? And would not we be justified to ask the enemy, or rather demand, or let me say negotiate, with the enemy that they should take care of our needs for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs? You know, these books, Bible and Quran, they're really all about you, brothers and sisters, and all about us, either literally or symbolically. But in large part, they are about us. Look at Ezekiel once again, which describes our condition. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Well, that references the umbilical cord. And in the day that we were born, we were not cut from the umbilical cord of our slave master. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, not swaddled at all. Well, these are efforts that you do for a child, that the child may have initially some fighting chance to survive in the following days. We were born, so to speak, here in America in 1863 under the Emancipation Proclamation. We were free, or so-called given freedom. But look at how they left us. Unswaddled, unsalted, the umbilical cord was not cut, meaning that they did not show us the way to go for self. They didn't, none I pitied thee to do any of these things. Obviously, no one pitied us. No one had compassion upon us. But we were cast, as the scripture states, in the opened field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou or that we were born. Cast into the open field could mean that we were cast into a field with the inability to cultivate it, without the know-how to cultivate it or to extract the benefit from the open field called America, even though we were so-called given our freedom. Now, this is a terrible condition to be in. However, the positive possibility of the meaning of that particular scripture could be that we were cast into a field of opportunity. And when we realize that we could not amalgamate or integrate into white America, we began setting up towns of our own, very successful towns of our own. We had what is called Black Wall Street. Huh? We had our own senators, our own Congress people. We were moving on up, if you will. But the enemy couldn't take that. However, what that historically demonstrates is that if we would reconcile with the reality that we will never be treated equal, as long as we're trying to integrate into America, then if we would realize that and then come together again under wise guidance, as we were able to produce these towns, Black Wall Street in the past, we can do it again. Well, you may say, well, they bombed us. Then what's to stop them from doing it now? I'll tell you, by the grace of Allah, what's to stop them from doing it, because this is the time of your rise. You have pleaded the prophecy. More of a surety, Abram, that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years, after which I will come. God is coming. In fact, God came. He's your protector. He's your patron. I know you don't know him. His name is Master Faraz Muhammad, and he has produced for you that one of whom the scripture says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. But not only Wonderful Counselor, he shall be called Mighty God. So that one who is the son that was born unto us, who gave and gives us wonderful counsel, he's not only a counselor, but he's the mighty God. And as the mighty God, he is able to produce Messiah. All right, I'm getting ready to get myself into trouble again. Now that's all right. Let's stick to the subject matter. Dear family, I'm going to stop talking because I really want to give you time to weigh in on this subject matter, and we will intermittently refer to the installments, both 48 and 49, as we proceed. But look at the economic blueprint as I close my opening remark. Look at the economic blueprint. So easy to accomplish. 5 cents a day. 5 cents a day for a year, at the end of which time, those of us who contribute out of the labor force, which is recorded to be 16 million of us here in America, if we just participated. However, 5 cents a day, the whole family, in work, out of work, can participate in this. But if just the 16 million reported to be in the labor force and is getting some kind of income from the labor force, if we just participated, 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week, $1.40 a month and $18.20 a year. At the end of the first year, we would have amassed $291,200,000. Now back to my original rhetorical question. You say, well, they might bomb us or stop us. You don't know the kind of protection you have, 6 miles high above our heads. I'm not going to get into it. It's just that, look, those so-called unidentified flying objects that are much identified to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Remember when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was conducting an interview or part of an interview with a news reporter, I forget exactly. I think it was the Messenger of Violet Drive, I think that's the name of it. When he was talking about the wheel, the man asked him, well, when will these wheels, these planes, be deployed? When will they go into action? The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said so humbly and so beautifully, but so to the point. He said, when you attack us. So don't worry. You got backing and protection. Or protection. Fear not. You are the righteous and the powerful. This is our hour. This is our time. But as the minister said, for those of you who don't wish to seek your freedom in a separate state or territory of your own and wish to remain in this futile effort to integrate with white folks of America, that's all right with Allah. But remember where the Quran consigns you. So these it is whose refuge is hell, and it is an evil resort. And you cannot deny all of you integrationists who are out there that still have invested your hopes in so bankrupt an enterprise. You have been, are, and you will continue to catch hell. I want to thank you for allowing me these opening remarks. And now, my dear sister and queen, please, if you would, open up the lines, both on the phone and in the chat room, so that we can invite the audience to participate in this discussion.
Yes, sir. We do have some new callers on, so I just want to remind them to press 1 on your dial pad if you have a question or comment from student James Muhammad. And I have, the questions about Minister Farrakhan being the Messiah, I put them to the back, and we're going to deal with the current issue right now. So, Lynn said that if white people did not accept it then, she typed this, that you were talking, as you were talking about the towns that blacks after the so-called Emancipation Proclamation, she says, if whites did not accept it then, do you think they will accept it now? They have enslaved Africa and American blacks.
Yes, ma'am. Well, they may or may not accept it, but their acceptance or rejection of it will mean nothing to the God. You know, brothers and sisters, that makes me reflect on a mindset, and it's a justifiable mindset that raises things as to why did Allah God permit us to go through this. If you will read in both Bible and Quran. First and foremost, it's part in the Bible of a covenant promise, an agreement made with Abram, who is known as Abraham. At the time he received this covenant with God, his name was Abram, but it was later changed to Abraham. And God told him that your seed will be in a strange land that is not theirs. Well, we're here in America. It's a strange land, and that seed was prophesied to be afflicted for 400 years. And what you must understand, beloved sister, is that in the time that Allah God permits evil to manifest its evil, there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Allah says in the Quran, in the discourse, the argument that he has with Satan, he told Satan, "Get thee down, despised and rejected. It is not fitting for you to act proper here." And Satan's cry then was, "Respite me," meaning delay my doom till the time that they are raised. For a specific time, until some people are going to be raised. What does that mean? Our mission here in America and throughout the world under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the resurrection of the dead. Not physical resurrection, but mental and spiritual resurrection. And that, in fact, has been and is taking place till the day that they are raised. Raised into what? Raised into the knowledge of who I am, that I can no longer hide, as Isaiah the prophet said, the bed is too narrow and the cover is too short. That scripture states, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, after Satan makes his petition to Allah God for respite, God's answer is, "Be thou among those with respite. For you is a provision," meaning I'm going to provide you with something, "and for you is a time, and for you is a dwelling place." So I'm not only going to provide you a dwelling place, I'm not only going to delay your doom, I'm going to give you that time, but I'm also going to provide you with what you need to raise the kind of hell that you're going to raise. You may ask, well, why would God do this? Well, this is also depicted in the parable of Job. When an agreement was reached with God and Satan, when God asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan said, "Yeah, well, I've been considering him, but you have this hedge around him." So Satan says, "If you remove the hedge, then I'll make him curse you to your face." Job was doing pretty good. He didn't know anything about the deal God and Satan made. He didn't know anything about it. All of a sudden, Job's good life turned for the worse. I mean, he lost his family members, his wife, his children. He lost his wealth, his land. He lost his health. He didn't know why Allah God was chastising him, so he thought, like that. But why was he? Because God was making a man who would be the man that would produce a nation of people that Satan could not deal with. So it's wrapped up in that parable. You know, when you're producing something of great wealth, a valuable gem as such, you don't produce it without pressure. I'm sure the kind of pressure and the length of time that the pressure is applied to the carbon block that ultimately produces a diamond. If the carbon block could cry out, it'd be cursing, screaming, yelling. But you've heard the expression, pressure makes diamonds. You don't make valuable gems without pressure, and you don't produce a valuable, godly, divine servant, representative, or Messiah without that kind of pressure. So Allah God permits this because he knew that his servant would not bow down. And his servant, in his being obedient to God and steadfast in his faith, would serve as that Messiah who by his stripes he saves the world of sin from their sins. He's talking about the minister. I'm sorry if it disturbs you. But by his stripes, we are healed by the suffering that this man has, is going through. By that suffering, we are being healed. So, please forgive me. These kinds of questions and the answers that Allah guides me, and I believe it is him who guides me through the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to give, it makes me reflect. It humbles me. But their sister, I believe it's the sister that asked the question, that I've addressed it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. And we have a question from Zach. He says, why do you feel God will come or has come? It is up to us, the people as a whole, to want to be free. Take from the land and the opportunities we have now to build our own. So I guess he wants to know the significance of the coming of God.
Well, that's a very, very good question. I mean, I could answer it by saying this is prophesied to happen. So it's according to the fulfillment of prophecy. But one of the prime requisites, the requirements that must be met, is that you and I come into a knowledge of who we are. You know, there was a discussion going on in the Holy Land just before Master Farad Muhammad came, and one of the scientists stood up after hearing the proposal to go and get us, or to come and get us. He said, the lost found nation of Islam shall not return unless they have a thorough knowledge of themselves, thorough knowledge of themselves. So that's the prime requisite. God has come, yes, he's come to let us know that he's a man. He dwells within a man, always was, always is, and always shall be manifested through a man or a woman. That he comes to give us a thorough knowledge of who we are and who are we. In our lessons called the student enrollment, the question is posed, who is the original man? The answer, of course, is the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, and then God of the universe, because it's going to take God to do what you just said, dear brother, because you're dealing not with a prophet you're certainly not dealing with an enemy chump or a chump enemy. You're dealing with a God, and only a God can deal with a God. But if you don't see yourself as a God, then you must be raised into the knowledge of who you are. Then once that is done, it will put you in the process by which you can develop the wherewithal to deal with this enemy who is, in fact, a God. So God has to come first. It's prophesied that he will. But he has to let you know, give you a thorough knowledge of who you are. If you knew who you were, if we knew who we were, then we would have already ascended to our position, our natural position, which is the ruler. So we need God. And plus, what you going to do without him? To be quite frank, if the enemy comes against us in some revolutionary war, what are you going to do? Fire your little pop gun at him, the little Tech Nines or the Glocks that he allows, that he puts in our community, in our hands? What are you going to do when all he has to do is sit someplace, some remote location, thousands of miles away from you and target you with a drone? Don't even have to be anywhere near you and just press a button and take you out. What are you going to do? No, you need God. We need God more than anyone else. So God indeed has to come first. Thank you for your question.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Deanna said that, do you really believe in UFOs, and what 6 miles above? I think it's something you mentioned.
That's where the so-called UFO, the unidentified flying object, to which I was referring, it hovers, it maintains a height above our heads. Now go look at Ezekiel, go read the scriptures of Ezekiel. It is called Ezekiel's wheel. And then look at all the news clippings over the years of these so-called unidentified flying objects. But I don't want to step before the minister. He promised us that he would deal with the wheel. You have to know about it, but I want him. I want to follow him in his clear and unmistaken expression of these wheels, the history of these wheels, and what they are there to do. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. And then we have Ahmad. He said, portrayal of our characters in various media situations is an assassination on blacks that will begin a police action against us. Do you believe that?
I absolutely believe that. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, get his lecture entitled Justifiable Homicide, Attack on Black Youth. I strongly recommend that lecture for all of our young people, but for all of our people. Yes, this is a planned attack. Portray us as those worthy of destruction through TV and through Hollywood, so that when they do move on us to destroy us, there won't be a national or international outcry. I certainly agree with you, brother. It's absolutely the truth. But get that tape. Go ahead, dear sister.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to come off of mute. Okay. And Jonathan says that the minister is always talking about the power of Israel. What power is he speaking of?
The power of Israel?
Yes.
Well, for the most part, he's talking about the inordinate and powerful influence that that little state over there in so-called, or quote-unquote, Palestine exercises on this big nation, America. That America cannot legislate any law or any matter of foreign policy or plank of foreign policy that will ill affect Israel. They have inordinate control of the government, of the media, of the economic world here in America. It's just true. I'm not mad at them for it, but look, it's just true. They exercise that kind of power here in America. It's a case of the tail wagging the dog, the tail being that little country, Israel, and the dog, appropriately stated, is America. So that's the power, excuse me, that the minister is referencing.
Your turn. Okay. And Brother Michael, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael, he said that the minister mentioned comparisons of writings between Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson about freeing blacks.
Yes, yes, he most certainly did. He most certainly did. And I'm going to get to that in his writings. Thomas Jefferson, as you know, but I want to read it, and I'm using my laptop here, so please bear with me. But Thomas Jefferson, as soon as I can find it, I'll read exactly what the minister said. So please bear with me, if you will. He states in installment number 48, study the following words that Thomas Jefferson wrote in June of 1776, which then, unfortunately, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and other delegates to the Continental Congress took out of the Declaration of Independence. He writes, he, the King of England, has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people, Africans, who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere to incur miserable death in their transportation thither to America. Look at how well Mr. Jefferson wrote that England did what England did, because England was the culprit that introduced us into this hemisphere and started the transatlantic slave trade. This, the minister writes, piratical warfare, the opprobrium, meaning the shame, of infidel, faithless powers, is the warfare of the Christian king of Great Britain, determined to keep open a black slave market where men should be bought and sold. Now, this is Thomas Jefferson. They're laying the blame, of course, for slavery on the King of England. Only because, the minister said, they did not participate in the profits of the slave trade at that time. And they needed a reason also to succeed, to rebel against the King of England. So in their sometimes I can't even get the word out. In their hypocrisy, they act as if they were against slavery from the very beginning. Now, Jefferson did pose, however, a solution. I want to get to that, if you'll give me a moment. You know, please keep in mind that I can't anticipate your question, so Give me a moment. This is what Mr. Lincoln said. Mr. Lincoln said, I have said that the separation of races is the only perfect preventative of amalgamation. The only perfect preventive of amalgamation, meaning the combining of black and white. I have no right to say all the members of the Republican Party are in favor of this, nor to say that as a party they are in favor of it. There is nothing in their platform directly on the subject, but I can say a very large proportion of its members are for it, and that the chief plank in their platform, opposition to the spread of slavery, is most favorable to that separation. Now, he is talking about separation of black and white. Mr. Lincoln continued, such separation, if ever effected at all, must be effected by colonization, and no political party as such is now doing anything directly for colonization. Party operations at present only favor or retard colonization incidentally. The enterprise is a difficult one, but when there is a will, or where there is a will, there is a way. And what colonization needs most is a hearty will. Will springs from the two elements of moral sense and self-interest. Let us be brought to believe it is morally right and at the same time favorable to, or at least not against, our interest. Now, this is Lincoln talking about separation. To transfer the African to his native clime, and we shall find a way to do it, however great the task may be. The children of Israel to such numbers as to include 400,000 fighting men went out of Egyptian bondage in a body. You see? So this is President Lincoln. Now let's find Thomas Jefferson. Is this my brother Michael, student minister Michael? Sister Gidget?
No, sir.
Okay.
She goes by Michael, last initial B as in Victor, so no.
Okay, that's all right. Let's find Thomas Jefferson's words. And it's difficult for me to have it pinpointed and waiting on this laptop. Just give me a moment, please. I hope everybody is patient. Okay. President Lincoln, in his June 26, 1857 speech on the Dred Scott decision, stated, I have said that separation of the races is the only perfect preventive of amalgamation. The enterprise, I've read this, but I'll read it again, is a difficult one, but when there is a will, there is a way. And what colonization needs most is a hearty will. Will springs from the two elements of moral sense and self-interest. Here, again, Lincoln in the 16th president is linked to the moral sense of the third president, Thomas Jefferson, who proposed in his writings from the notes on the state of Virginia in 1785. And this is what Jefferson said. Blacks should be colonized to such a place as the circumstances of the time should render most proper, sending them out with arms, implements of household and the handicraft arts, seeds, pairs of the useful domestic animals, etc., to declare them a free and independent people and extend to them our alliance and protection till they shall have acquired strength. The minister writes, in President Jefferson's mind, it was morally correct to send the slaves out and let them go free. And it is in our self-interest, Lincoln said, to do that. Let us be brought to believe it is morally right and at the same time favorable to, or at least not against, our interest to transfer the African to his native clime, and we shall find a way to do it, however great the task may be. So therein is the answer to my brother's question. The minister continues, however, but here are two presidents that were overridden by a majority opinion. Thomas Jefferson couldn't get the founding fathers to agree with the morality of what he was saying, and they couldn't see their self-interest and the long-range good to their children in the morality of what he was saying. Number two, and neither could the people in the time of Abraham Lincoln see the moral sense and the self-interest of separating black and or the black and the white. But they see it now. These militia groups, these white supremacist groups, they see it now. They fear white genetic annihilation. And they are right to fear it. And for all of you white people who are listening, please, don't get offended. But if you love your children and love your race and you want to see the continuation of such, then it is not wise for you to mix with us. Why? Because we are so strong in our genetic makeup that whatever mixes with us becomes us. And if you continue to mix with us, pretty soon there won't be very many of you around. That's just a caveat, Sister Aziza, or any who may be listening. But thank you for your question, Brother Michael.
Yes, sir. Okay. Sister Kiara says, okay, well, let me back up. I don't know if this is a sister or not. She says, does the NOI find the term cult offensive? Do you believe you are a cult? Why or why not?
Well, we're not necessarily offended at that reference to us as cult because we know we're not. I mean, let's look at the definition of that word. The word cult is defined as a particular system of religious worship, especially with reference to its rites and ceremonies. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that because all religions have a particular system of worship with references to rites, and that's R-I-T-E-S, and ceremonies. Number two, an instance of great veneration of a person, ideal or thing, especially as manifested by a body of admirers. The physical fitness cult, as example. The object of devotion. A group or sect bound together by veneration of the same thing, person, or ideal. Well, according to the denotative meaning of the word, we could be, but so could every religion and religious organization. But connotatively, the word cult now does not refer to us at all. We are a nation of people. We are the nation of Islam, a nation of obeying ones, obedient ones to Almighty, or striving to be to Almighty God Allah. We are not a cult. We're not really a religion, to tell you the truth. Allah says in the Holy Quran, this day have I completed my favor upon you and chosen for you, Islam, as a religion. That word as means like, but not really that. We are not a religion. We are a way of life. Islam is a structure of divine government that provides for every aspect of human existence. If you're a Christian and a good Christian, you're a Muslim. If you're a Jew and a good Jew, you're a Muslim. You see? It's not a religion. It's a way of life. Allah further says in the Quran, Islam is the nature of God and the nature in which he created man. He says there is no altering God's creation. That is the right religion. Well, the right religion then, according to Allah, is nature in its unaltered state, or creation in its unaltered state, because creation in its unaltered, non-grafted, non-transgenic state is the religion of God. It is Islam. So I don't necessarily get offended. I explain it with the help of Allah. But thank you for your question.
Ooh, okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Brother James, are you ready to move on to another line of questioning?
Sure. By the grace of Allah.
Okay, Jonathan wants to know, could you please provide at least 3 points of proof that Farrakhan is the Messiah?
I want you to provide it for yourself. Just look at what the Messiah did according to the scriptures, who were his enemies, and what they said of him. And then go listen to the minister's lectures of what he says. Look at who his enemies are and what they are saying of him, and you do the math. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And Brother Ali says, do you think that Allah is going to kill all white people?
I don't know who Allah is going to kill, white or black. And if all white people were killed tomorrow, we would produce another one in our mind the next day. It's not about killing white people. It is about the evil that whites have done out of a certain mindset. That mindset is now in black people, who are the number one killers of us in our communities. You don't see white folk driving by shooting up black people. It's us shooting up our own people, selling drugs to our own people, destroying our potential and our future for money and for material wealth. It's us who are killing each other. If we want to kill all white people, then we'd have to kill most of us, because we are white-minded. No. I don't know who Allah is going to kill. I just pray I'm not one of them.
Yes,
sir. I do know we have a better chance if we would follow his servant and obey his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. All praises to Allah. Okay. This question kind of rolled over Brother James from last night because I guess he was listening. But A1 God, his name on Google Chat, says, if you believe that there are good Christians, why such a rejection last night about marrying outside of Islam?
When you marry a good Christian, you're not marrying outside of Islam. Islam, I repeat, is not a religion, it's a way of life, and the underpinning of our Islamic belief is belief in one God, along with the other principles, belief in his prophets and his messengers, belief in prayer, belief in charity, belief in fasting. These are all universal principles. As I shared with you all last week, we're not talking necessarily about labels. We're talking about principles. And principles of practice. So please try to understand what we are saying. I just said tonight that a good Muslim is a good Christian. Look at what it says when in the scriptures when Jesus was asked, Master, teach us how to pray. He said, pray on this wise, our Father who art in heaven. He didn't say your Father and my Father and not yours. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now stop right there. What was Jesus telling his disciple in that statement, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. He's saying, not my will, Father, and not your will to the person who was asking the question. He said, God's will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And if he was talking to the person and telling them that it's God's will that must be done. Well, that's the same thing we as Muslims try to practice, obeying the will of God. Now, he didn't say, be a Christian, and he didn't say, be a Muslim. He just said, obey the will of God. His will be done. You know, to just really put an end to this, since many of us believe, most of us believe that we are from Adam. Well, what was Adam's religion? Did God create Adam and tell him that you are a Christian or you are a Muslim? What did he tell Adam? He created Adam, put him in the garden, gave him a wife, and then told him certain instructions. And when he completed instructing him, he said, do you understand? Adam said, yes, sir. And then God moved out. So what was the religion there? It was obey me. It was then and it is now. The religion of God is to obey him. And if you are obeying him to the best of your understanding, I don't care what you call yourself. Allah God will have mercy on you and on me as long as we're not hypocritical to what we say we believe. If you say you believe it, then let your walk be consistent with your talk. That's Muslim, Christian, Hebrew, it don't matter, because that's how you will be judged. In Islam, we believe in all of the prophets of God and messengers of God and all of the scriptures that they brought. We don't make a distinction. So let us end this foolishness of division on the basis of titles, on the basis of labels. Black folk can't afford to be divided on no basis at all. That's Willie Lynch, for those of you who are familiar with him. Come on, brothers and sisters, let's come together. If you're a Christian and you're hungry, then you're a Christian who needs to eat. If I'm a Muslim and I'm hungry, then I'm a Muslim who needs to eat. I'll stop right there.
Yes, sir. And we have some questions on the phone. Area code 616. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Andre from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Andre. Always good to hear your voice, dear brother.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to commend you on your good reflection of the minister. You know, a student is only a reflection of the minister, or a student is only a reflection of his teacher. So I wanted to commend you on your reflection of our teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in your answering of the questions tonight. Only because of being in the ministry class is that, you know, we are able to reflect, and not just in a ministry class, but I'm not going to designate that just to the ministry class because we are all students.
That's right.
But because, you know, we put ourselves through a trial and a test to study and look at things from a spiritual manner, and we are taught to do that way, is the reason why I believe, by Allah's grace, that you are definitely a good reflection of your teaching. So I just wanted to make that comment, dear brother. I'm not going to make any comments on the subject matter tonight, simply because I'm just being a student in the class. I'm listening. I'm enjoying it. And like I said, it's always good to just sit back and listen sometimes. So that's what I'm doing tonight. And thank you, Sister Aziza, for allowing the brother to be in that capacity to be a source of inspiration to those who are listening, and also to gain some insight from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught and instructed to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So that's what I wanted to say, and, you know, thanks again for your sharing tonight. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
Andre, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, brother. All praise is due to Allah. Listen, I know that the things that we say by the help of Allah will stir questions in the minds of those who don't think that way or don't understand or whatever. But I want you to focus on what is important. I don't wish that my reference to the minister as the Messiah to override or invalidate the reality that we have to come together under wise guidance in an economic program that will free us up from this deplorable condition of dependence on our enemies. Don't you know that white folk don't have these arguments as to who is who? They don't participate in that. They look at their overall condition. They work in a collective manner, making no excuses for their failures. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we should do the same. Our condition bears witness that we don't know God, no matter who you say he is, and we don't know the Messiah. Our condition speaks volumes about whether or not we know the Messiah, whether we know the Christ, whether we know God. In church, in the mosque, in the temple, in the synagogue, it doesn't matter. I say, look at the condition of black people. And you are just like the scripture says you would be. It says the light shined in the darkness. and the darkness comprehended it not. It says he came to his own, and his own received him not. You don't see Jews rejecting each other. Who is that scripture talking about? As soon as we lift the black man to a position of divinity, now here we come. And the enemy just sits back and laughs at us. While if I were to pull most of us and ask you to close your eyes and envision God, what would you see if you saw anything at all? You probably wouldn't see anything at all because you don't know him. You don't know how he looks. You don't know how Jesus looks. Yet you expect him to return. And even though the scripture says he had hair like lamb's wool and feet like brass that was burnt in an oven, meaning that brass is already brown when you burn it, it's black. Even though it's a black man, the scripture describes him. It doesn't say he's white. But that argument is not raging in white communities. What color was Jesus? What color is the Messiah? Who is the Messiah? It only rages in our community because it's a distraction that the enemy has allowed and fuels, really, to keep us distracted from the real issue. Try to understand. And for those of you who are very sincere in your questioning and want clarity, I understand. I'm not talking to you or about you. But I just want us to make sure that we focus on what's important. And don't try to find another fence to erect just because Brother James said that the minister is the Messiah. It can be proven. I'm not backing up off of it at all. I've given you scriptures that you can research yourself. I wonder how many are researching the scriptures I suggested. Read. Look at the history of Jesus, at least what's reported in both Bible and Quran. Read. That's all. I don't mind you disagreeing, but if you don't go and research it, then that's a problem. Then what it reflects is all you want to do is argue. And that I will not engage in. Not from that motivation. Read, study. I'm not asking anyone to accept it on face value. Just go read. Open up your Bible. I know you got one. Open up your Bible and look at what is recorded of Jesus's, of the Messiah's behavior, his actions. What did he do? Who hated him? What did they do? Did they conspire against him? Did they wished to shut his mouth? Were they afraid of him? Were they afraid that all the people that he kept speaking would follow him? Look at it. You say that Jesus was born, and the Jews accused Jesus of being born of fornication. I could go into some history that would blow your mind, but I'm not going to do that. You just go read. I know what I'm talking about. You study. Study. That's what I would ask of you. Study. And make sure you put that nickel a day away while you study. And send it to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, care of Seaway Bank and Trust Company. Attention, Sherilyn Russell, T.O. Box 19522, Chicago, Illinois, 60619-9522. Thank you.
Okay, and we have someone on the phone for you, Brother James. I think you might know this young man. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. How are you?
Oh, Brother Kareem, wonderful to hear your voice there, brother. You know,
and
I was telling you.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brother Kareem.
No. I was just also extending the greetings to you. And
right.
It's good to hear you, brother.
Well, praise be to Allah. I'm not going to tell you what I told Sister Aziza to tell you for not calling in on the show, not being here, you know, leaving me out there knowing I'm under attack, but now that you're on.
He said that he was going to put your head up under a hammer. He was going to crack it like a baton.
Well, all I can say to that is, according to my mama, it's going to have to be an awful hard hammer because I got a hard head.
But it's wonderful to hear your voice there, brother. Is there something you would like to share with us or question? Anything?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. But as always, I have to begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of our divine reminder. And yes, I want to go on record, on the air, worldwide, in a 100% agreement with my brother. He is the Messiah. As my brother said, you just need to study the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, and I mean, I've just been listening tonight myself, you know, and I agree with Student Minister Andre, you know, that sometimes it's good. You know, it's not always about talking, because sometimes we get in the habit of talking and it can become vanity. And I'm really striving to stay away from that, you know, and speak when Allah would have me speak. But I know, the subject tonight being separation and independence based upon parts 48 and 49 of the time and what must be done. Individuals, but I've been listening to the questions that have been coming, and you've handled them beautifully. The thing I think that's going on with us is, just like you said, we are feeding into all of the distractions that the enemy has placed out there for us. And so what happens is we're compartmentalizing. You know, that's a term they like to use in corporate America. You know, we're okay, well, I'm over here and this is what I got, this is what I got. As Allah stated in the Quran, that the people didn't start arguing. I'm paraphrasing. But the people didn't start arguing and having all this dissension until knowledge came to them.
That's right.
So the people got basically, and they think it's knowledge, but really it's just information. So they done got a little information and they on the move, and that's good. But the thing is that we have to understand that when it comes to knowledge, we are taught that there are 360 degrees in the circle of knowledge. Only Allah, only God himself can view or see and understand all 360 degrees at the same time.
That's right.
So, but what happens is that many of us, we're standing on the circle, and we can perceive knowledge based upon what degree we're at on the circle. Now, it doesn't mean, I mean, and so we all start at zero, understanding that. But as we go from zero through one, through 70, through 180 degrees, we can yet perceive this knowledge from the perspective of zero up to 180.
That's right.
But again, we have to remember we can't see the whole circle and understand that the circle is turning. And as you have been saying all night long, we have to look at, you know, in other words, what kind of, you, and I'm paraphrasing you now, you know, basically what kind of guidance is being provided? I mean, if an individual takes issue with the fact, and yeah, I'm saying it, yeah, if an individual takes issue with the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Messiah, all right, then, okay, let's use this language, that he comes in the archetype of the Messiah. And if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to tell you. Go look it up. Do some work. As Student Minister James Muhammad quoted earlier tonight, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. If it's going to make you free, that means you got to go do some work. So go check it out. But the thing is that, as you have been saying, then let's look at the evidence. Look at what he says. More importantly, look at what he does and then compare it to the scripture. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. As opposed to automatically looking to take issue with it, look at what you have said. Look at what the minister does and then compare it to the scripture and then make a decision on your own. Because if we understand what Messiah means, one of the meanings, one of the many meanings of Messiah or Masi is one anointed with oil. Okay, think over that. One anointed with oil with the power to cleanse or resurrect. That is one of many meanings.
Go ahead, Brother Kareem. Yes.
Now, the oil that they talk about, if you notice in the church, you know, because I visit the church, I hang out there sometimes. When they anoint you with oil, what kind of oil do they anoint you with? You say, well, it was blessed oil. Okay, but it had to come from somewhere to get blessed. So where did it come from? It's olive oil. Come from the olive tree. And understanding, again, here, I'm sharing this because, again, I'm not going to go in depth into what the olive oil is. Go research it. Go study your Bible.
That's right.
Go study the history of why if you are anointed with olive oil. But then this one who is called Messiah, he's anointed with this oil. And he can cleanse. He can purify, and he can resurrect the dead. Well, now, I don't know about anybody else, but when I walk the streets, when I'm out here working and living and having to communicate with and relate to the people out here, period, I ain't talking about color. I ain't even just talking about black folks. I ain't even talking about color. But I'm talking about dealing with people, period. The majority of the time, and it's sad to say it, but the majority of the time when I'm dealing with people, I'm dealing with dead folks because that's how they operate. And anybody that's out here dealing with people, I mean, don't you ever wonder why people behave like they do? Do you ever wonder why folks can be in the store with their quote-unquote child? But, of course, you know, like they say, well, these are my kids. Well, I understand why. I look at their behavior. But they're in the store with their kids. And then, I mean, here, because I remember when I was little, and this is not, hope I'm not getting off the subject, but I remember when I was little, boy, you go in the store with your parent, particularly with your mother, and talk about throwing a fit.
Forget that.
And you're gonna jump up and down, scream and holler. And I've even seen some of them hit their parents.
Lord have mercy.
I got one reply to that. It says, hell to the no.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm sharing that to say that if you're looking at the behavior of humanity, quote unquote, that you come in contact with, don't you think that we need a savior and a messiah? Not one 2,000 years ago. Not one 2,000 years ago. Not even one 80 years ago. Not even one 40 years ago. Or 30 years ago. Also, we need somebody right now, today, who is an example of what we all should be. See, I'm looking at us with remaining in the mind, having that mind, that slave mind that the enemy gave us. Even though we are so educated, even though many of us are so conscious now, we are yet looking at and perceiving the knowledge of the information that's being provided from somewhere, I would say, at point degree two or three on the scale of knowledge. It's just that simple. And as you have stated, my brother, we have to get out of being trapped in the labels. I mean, just look at it plain and simple. Like you say, regardless of what label I may put on myself, I yet have to eat. All our youth are in danger, as well as the old folks. We are living in hell, literally. We don't have to go there. Even those of us who are supposed to be successful. Don't you see this? Every time somebody makes a move and tries to even say something of an independent nature, okay? And we're not talking about no scholars. Hey, Jay-Z, man, him and his wife. And don't get me wrong. I'm gonna be clear. I don't have nothing personally against him because I don't know him personally. But I'm not a Jay-Z fan. However, I'm just saying, here's somebody with money. Here's somebody that many people quote unquote love and respect. But him and his wife take a trip to Cuba, and all of a sudden there's an attack on them. Why? I thought this was the land of the free and the home of the brave. From everything I'm seeing and what's being put forth, it's the land of the freaks and the home of the slaves. And the person can take that and chew on it any way they want to. But that's what's going on. So, I mean, I don't want to take up any more of the time because I know it's other people with questions, other people with comments. What I'm saying is that I am in agreement with you, my brother, that it is time out for us wasting our time on frivolous thought, frivolous activity. Bottom line is that if our thinking and our activity is not directed toward first cleaning up oneself, self-resurrection, and then applying our energy to correcting the horrific conditions that exist in our homes and in our communities, then you're just a waste of breath. Get out of the way. If you want to argue about foolishness, get out of the way and let those of us who desire to unite, unite. You know, I'm going to say this last thing. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us an economic blueprint. His introduction to that blueprint was the 3-year economic program in which he introduced saving a nickel a day. Because he knew, just as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan knows, that the majority of us, we're clapping, we'll say that's a good idea, but we're not, you know, we're not going to really participate. But when you think about how little amount of money that is, if we would just do that one thing, if you don't believe or think that the brother is the Messiah, and the reason I'm saying that, like I said, I'm not going to explain why I'm saying it, go study. If you don't believe it, just participate in the program for the minimum of 3 years and see what the result is. See what he does with the funding. You ain't going to lose nothing. I mean, you spend that on a you spend that, the amount of money he's asking for in a year, you spend that on a blunt once a day. Come on. So I'm gonna leave it as it is. Thank you all. Thank you, Student Minister James Muhammad. Thank you, Queen Azizi, for allowing me to, you know, express myself. You, my brother, continue to do the wonderful, wonderful job you're doing, and I will be present more and more. I make no excuses for my absence. It's just that, you know, I am self-employed, and so when the work comes, I got to go do it. But
I
I'm
know,
gonna make,
brother. I know that, man.
I'm going to make time. I'm going to make time. Even if I'm on the job from now on, if I don't do nothing but call in and say, Assalamu alaikum, I'm going to make sure I do that.
Well, thank you, brother. Your comments and your presence, of course, is always welcome. And when it's not there, it's missed, Brother Kareem. I just wanted to convey that to you, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. As we move into the last 10 minutes of the show, I would like, as Brother Kareem successfully refocused us on the priorities, I would like to read, in support of what he said, the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to highlight what we really should be concerned about. The minister writes here again in installment number 48, in this particular section dealing with the Dred Scott decision. He writes, moreover, Abraham Lincoln stated in Springfield, Illinois, in June of 1857, a few months after the Supreme Court Dred Scott decision, and 3 years before he was elected as president, he discusses his view on separation. But before we get into that, the minister states, what is the Dred Scott decision? I'd venture to say that many who are listening in our listening audience may not know what the Dred Scott decision was. The minister begins to explain. Dred Scott, a slave, had been purchased by Army Surgeon John Emerson, a citizen of Missouri. Scott and his master had spent time in Illinois and the Wisconsin Territory, where slavery was prohibited. After John Emerson's death in 1843, Dred Scott in 1846 sued the Emerson estate, Dred Scott versus Emerson, for his freedom, claiming that his journey to free soil had made him free after nearly 11 years. His lawsuit, now Dred Scott versus Sanford, his new owner, went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, wherein Chief Justice Roger B. Taney, who wrote the decision, said, now please, pay close attention to this. The only matter in issue before the court, therefore, is whether the descendants of slaves, when they shall be emancipated, or who are born of parents who have become free before their birth, are citizens of a state in the sense in which the word citizen is used in the Constitution of the United States. And this being the only matter in dispute on the pleading, the court must be understood as speaking in this opinion of that class only, that is, of those persons who are the descendants of Africans who were imported into this country and sold as slaves. In the text of the syllabus, which precedes the opinion of Chief Justice Taney, Part 1, Number 10, states, the plaintiff, having admitted that his ancestors were imported from Africa and sold as slaves, he is not a citizen of the state of Missouri according to the Constitution of the United States and was not entitled to sue in that character in the circuit court. And Part 4, number four states, the Constitution of the United States recognizes slaves as property and pledges the federal government to protect it. And Congress cannot exercise any more authority over property of that description than it may constitutionally exercise over property of any other kind. Chief Justice Taney, in his decision, continued, "We proceed to examine the case as presented by the pleadings. The words, people of the United States and citizens are not synonymous, are synonymous terms and mean the same thing. They both describe the political body who, according to our Republican institutions, form the sovereignty and who hold the power and conduct and conduct the government through their representatives. They are, we familiarly call, the sovereign people. And every citizen is one of these people and a constituent member of this sovereignty. So, the question before us," Justice Taney writes, "is whether the class of persons, meaning Dred Scott, described in the plea in abatement pulls a portion of this people and are constituent members of the sovereignty. We think they are not, and that they are not included and were not intended to be included under the word citizens in the Constitution and can therefore claim none of the rights and privileges which that instrument provides for and secures to citizens of the United States. On the contrary, they were at that time considered as a subordinate and inferior class of beings who had been subjugated by the dominant race, and whether emancipated, listen good now, whether emancipated or not, yet remained subject to their authority and had no rights or privileges but such as those who held the power and the government might choose to grant them. They had for more than a century before been regarded as beings of an inferior order and altogether unfit to associate with the white race, either in social or political relations, and so far inferior that they had no rights which the white man was bound to respect, and that the Negro might justly and lawfully be reduced." See, if you reduce something, that means they were in a higher position. So even if they were free, even if we are free, we can be reduced to slavery for the benefit of white people. He was bought and sold and treated as an ordinary article of merchandise and traffic whenever a profit could be made by it. That closes just a portion of the words of Supreme Justice Taney. And so the minister asks, "My question to the black man and woman of America and my question to all of you who are listening tonight is that, is that attitude represented by the words of Justice Taney the attitude of the people in power in America? President Obama has risen to the highest position in the nation, and he is being handled like that attitude of Justice Taney that brought about the Dred Scott decision, that no black man has rights that a white man is bound to respect." Now, I ask you, how many of us have stood before the court innocent, aggressed against by the white man, yet the court found in the favor of the aggressor. Understand, brothers and sisters, we are at war for our very freedom. And the only way this freedom is going to be affected is if we forget about our petty differences. Dismantle the walls that have been erected on the basis of faith, expression, and title, and name, or what have you, and come together as a people in this magnificent and simple program of liberation, the economic blueprint ending poverty in one. I want to announce that address where we need to send our money. Mail our donations to Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, care of Seaway Bank and Trust Company, attention Sherilyn Russell, P.O. Box 19522, Chicago, Illinois, 60619-9522. Thank you. We have arrived at the end of the show. Thank you, Queen, for allowing us to go a little over. I know the announcements that have to be made, and I want to thank our listening and participating audience for being there with us tonight. I pray to Almighty God Allah that He has blessed us to share, both from myself and from all of you who had comments and questions, something that will contribute to our unity and our coming together. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, let me just read something right quick. And I'm responding to several people in the listening audience. I'm going to address the comments that you've made during Brother Kareem's statements, as well as some of Brother James. But for those of you who are familiar with the Holy Quran, and those of you who may not be, even if you access it online, whether you purchase a Quran or whatever, just a reminder that we have a surah or a chapter, 103, and it says the time. And it says, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, by the time, surely man is in loss, except those who believe and do good and exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to patience. Now, this is not something that I do on the norm, but I feel a need to offer up an explanation to some of our listening audience. First, I want to say that I truly appreciate all of you tune in every day that we're on the air, which is every day, and who take out the time, the 2 hours plus that you spend with us, because certainly those 2 hours could be used to do whatever else you may want to do, and certainly there are lesser activities that you could be participating in. So I thank Allah that you are listening to us share the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad instead of doing something else that you could have been doing in a more negative manner. And so, Brother James and Brother Kareem, it was brought to my attention that some of the listeners were offended by some of the comments, and I just want to publicly say that it is never the intention to offend anyone, and for those of you who were first-time listeners, those of you who asked your questions in sincerity and not in an argumentative state, if you misunderstood the responses that you received from anyone on this program, please do not misunderstand that it is never the intention to insult or offend anyone, but, of course, provide you the information that you are requesting. Now, we have oftentimes experienced people who will come out and they are in opposition of the minister and of the nation and of just of Islam in itself. And if that jacket does not fit you, then, of course, we're not speaking to you. Oftentimes we have to find ourselves defending our minister and our faith and the position that we take in Islam. But the overall goal is to teach and to share. And so if it has appeared as though we have lost patience, have been short, have been rude in any form or fashion, let me just publicly say to any of you and all of you that we sincerely apologize for you misunderstanding the responses that you may have received and misinterpreted as being rude. And certainly we want you all to always listen, always ask your questions, and we, you know, never take for granted that, you know, we have a responsibility to teach. And so that is the whole purpose of any of my programs on Blog Talk Radio. So I just wanted to let them know, Brother James, that I know my brother, I know Brother Kareem. They are with me every day on numerous of shows. So whether this is your first show or 101st show, you would know that their spirits are never intentionally to offend or hurt anyone in any kind of way. So if it seems for a moment or so that he may have lost patience or whatever, don't misunderstand that with passion. And I just wanted to clarify that, Brother James and Brother Kareem, because I know people hear from you often, but then we have some new people who's joined the study group tonight who may have misunderstood some of the things that were said. So if you are unfamiliar with Islam, let me just quickly say that our holy scriptures come from a book titled the Holy Quran. And so we also use the Holy Bible more often than not, the King James Version of the Holy Bible. At least that's the one that I possess. And so we use both books, but in identifying the minister, excuse me, I didn't want to cough on the air, but in identifying the minister, it is certainly the fact that he's measured by the works, not that we are worshiping him or that we are under some illusion. Jesus himself, Jesus of 2,000 years ago, was recognized by his work and the grace and the power that Allah bestowed upon him. And so we have in our midst today a man who has demonstrated that same power. But unless you know what powers to look for, then you would never be able to recognize. So that was the purpose of Student Minister James referring you to the scripture for you to study and understand why he said that the minister is the Messiah. It's not that we are idol worshipers. We have the evidence and the history of the man in our midst, and we are basically witness bearers to his great works. So I just ask that you study as Student Minister James did, and if you have anything that you don't understand, please feel free to call us. Our number for Nation Building is on my Facebook page. You can follow me or send me a friend's request under Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. You can call our Nation Building hotline at 832-304-3115, or you can email us at YGB, which is Y as in yo-yo, G as in girl, B as in boy, live, at gmail.com. And, of course, you can look up Brother James, through the Minister James Muhammad, on Twitter. And, of course, Brother Kareem has a show on Mondays, so you can find him on Facebook. You can find Student Minister James on Facebook. But, you know, we are not avoiding any questions that you have. As a matter of fact, it gives us great honor, privilege, and pleasure to be able to defend or answer any of your questions. So that is the whole basis of this particular program. It is study group. It is a learning program. So I just wanted to put that out there before I make the announcement. So let us move on, because like Brother James said, we are over time. Join us, of course, tomorrow for Young, Gifted, and Black. Our host, Sister Yatira X, she's going to be talking about who are the real Jews. And on Sunday, join us at 6:30 p.m. with Brother Vernon on our economic development program, which is called No Romance Without Finance. And on Monday at 8 p.m., we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem. As he blessed us tonight, he will bless us again on Monday with the topic, Why Dianetics? And, of course, on Tuesday at 8 p.m., Brother Jahab will be back with another series that he's beginning with Out on the Front Line with the Food of Islam. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., DJ Black Caesar and friends will be back with our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, I will be joined by Student Minister Demetric Muhammad. I have two Student Minister James Muhammads and Brother Victor Muhammad out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we will be speaking on identifying Farrakhan in Scripture. So for those of you who may have the questions that you posed tonight, that might be a good program for you to listen to in order to get more insight about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, of course, next Friday we'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad. And so once again, thank all of you for listening. Thank you, Student Minister James. Excellent job as always. Brother Kareem, you know you my man, 100 grand. Thank you, dear brother. And thank you, Brother Andre. And thank you all in the listening audience and in the chat room. Thank you for working me to death tonight, but I love y'all much. And may Allah continue to bless us all. As we leave you before, as we came before you, and our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.